Well, good evening once again, Highland Academy. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you here again this evening, and I'm so glad that you guys braved the weather. Showers of blessings. That's awesome. That's good. I actually thought when I saw the rain, I don't know who I commented, I thought to myself, I'm sure they're going to probably cancel week of prayer, but you guys didn't, so that's a good thing. Amen. Well, I got to go back home to Southern. It took me about 3 hours to get there, just enough time to pet my dog, and then just get back. And I just got back about half an hour ago, and so I praise God for safe traveling mercies. We are on our third night. What night are we on? Our third night of our week of prayer. And what is the theme for our week of prayer, everybody? The ultimate wedding gift. And there are, you know, getting wedded, being married to someone is really not an event. It's a process. It's true in our relationship with each other. And it's also true when it comes to our relationship with Christ. You see, our relationship with Christ is not just a one-off thing. It's something continuous. Can you say amen? You know, the Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. You know, when you actually look at those words, ask and seek and knock, and the English really doesn't do justice to it. In the original language, it's what we refer to as a participle. Now, for those who take English, what's a participle? It's any word with the letters ing at the end. Remember that? Remember that in English? Have you guys gotten that far? I'm pretty sure you have. And so really, the English should really say asking, knocking, and seeking. In other words, when you ask of Jesus, it's not really something you do one-off. You know, it's not something you just do once. You don't just ask Jesus once. You know, have you ever wondered to yourself, like, you know what? I knew someone who said, well, I'm just going to have one prayer in the morning, and I'm just going to ask God once in the morning to bless my food throughout the whole day. You thought about that? And I said to him, well, it's really not like that. You know what he said? The Bible says ask. Well, no. We've got to keep asking. And the reason why God says he wants us to keep asking is because he wants to have a relationship with us. That's the reason why it says asking, knocking, and seeking. It's a continuous thing. And so it is with our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. You being wedded to someone is something ongoing. And so the first night we found out that if we really want to marry someone, the premise of our relationship must be based on the fact that we are absolutely in love with that person. Remember that? Falling in love. And I'm not talking about filial love. We're not talking about family love. We're not talking about erotic love. But we're talking about agape love. That was night number one. Then after we fall in love with someone, what's the next step? Then comes the proposal, okay? And we found out last night that Jesus is making a proposal. Well, he did make a proposal, and he continues to make a proposal by dying on the cross for our sins. Then after we make the proposal, in any marriage, in any wedding, comes the part where the bride needs to find a dress. Now, how many of you have seen that show? Say, yeah, you guys know it, right? You guys know. Say yes to the dress. Now I didn't have a TV at home, only by choice. And it's not when I travel. That's actually when I'm in the hotel. That's actually when I get to catch up what's going on in the television world. And so I remember one time I was flipping through the channels, and I saw that. Say yes to the dress. How many have seen that show? Wow, you guys, we got a whole bunch of graduates ready to buy their dresses. I mean, like, look, friends, look. I mean, if there's ever a stressful part in the process of getting married, it's finding a dress. Do you guys notice? Did you guys sense the stress that just comes out of the screen? I mean, for those of you who don't know, the movie, it's not a movie, it's a series. And the whole point of the series is that the bride goes into the store, and the whole intent is to get the bride to say yes to the dress. That's the whole point, okay? It's to convince, persuade, you know, pressure, do all that's necessary to get this poor little bride to simply say yes to the dress. And so now you may think it's easy, but when you watch the show, it isn't easy because you have these contending forces. you have these contending forces contending for the choice of the bride. Number one, you have the contending force of the overwhelming advice from the store owners. Have you noticed that part? I mean, they're just bombarding you with advice and information and advice and information and advice. And so you've got that force that you've got to contend with. Then you've got to contend with the demands and the opinions of your mother-in-law. Then you've got to contend with the wishes of your own mother. Then you've got to contend with the force of the price. You see, there are so many forces that there's so many contending forces. Now I saw in one show, I looked it up online, and wedding dresses can go as cheap as $1,300 all the way up to $40,000 plus. So now you've got all these contending forces. You've got the overwhelming information advice from the owners. Then you've got to appease your mother-in-law. Then you've got your own mother. And then you've got the price. And then you've got your own wishes. You've got your own desires. And so there's this, there's this warfare. There's this battle trying to get that bride to find that perfect dress. And once she says yes to the dress, sometimes everybody's happy, or sometimes some people are happy, or some people are not happy. You see, at the end of the day, you cannot please everybody. And so really, that's the whole idea of that show, saying yes to the dress. Well, tonight, folks, I want to talk to you about saying yes to another dress. And I'm not talking about a $1,000 dress. I'm not talking about a $5,000 dress. I'm not talking about a $40,000 dress. I'm talking about another dress in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it very clear that if you do not have this dress, if you are without this garment, this wedding garment, the Bible says there is no salvation for you. It's as simple as that. You can have all the wedding dresses in this world. You can have an expensive, laced-up, dazzling diamond dress or whatever it may be in this world, but the Bible makes it very clear, if you don't have this wedding garment, if you don't say yes to this dress, the Bible says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I want to talk to you about saying yes to another dress. The story actually is actually found in the book of Matthew chapter 22, and it's a parable, and the story goes something like this. The Bible says that there was a king, and he decides to put a wedding banquet on. And the Bible says that he sends forth his servants to go and invite family and friends to come to his wedding. Well, those that were closest to the family, which symbolized at that time the Jews. Now, time does not suffice me to get really into that. And so the Bible says that those that were closest to the family actually ended up mocking and killing the servants. Now, that's really what the Jews did. You know, God sent them prophet after prophet after prophet. As a matter of fact, God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And what did they do? They ridiculed and they persecuted him and they killed him. That's really what the fulfillment of this parable means. And so the king's had enough. And you probably know by now that the king represents God. Who does the king represent? The king represents God. And the wedding is symbolic. The wedding symbolizes the union between humanity and divinity, as Ellen White says, or the wedding represents the second coming of Jesus. And so now the king is upset, and so he says, enough's enough. Go to the highways and the byways. In other words, go to the Gentiles and bring them in, preach the gospel to them and bring them into this wedding. And so the Bible says that the servants, they go out and they bring the Gentiles into the wedding, and something very interesting happened. There's a bit of a conflict here. I want to pick up in Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 11. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me there. If you don't, just listen very carefully. Notice what happens next. The Bible says here, and when the king, who does the king represent? God. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that there was a man which did not have on the wedding garment. There was a man who did not have on the wedding garment. Notice what the Bible says here. And then the king says to him, friend, how did you get in here? Now, in the King James, it says, how camest thou in hither? Okay, now we don't go around saying that, right? How many of you have gone into the class and the teacher says, how camest thou in hither? Now we don't say that, do we, today, right? What does that mean in today's vernacular? In today's vernacular, I mean, how did you get in here, man? You know, yeah, bro, how did you get in? How on earth did you get into this wedding? And so the king says here, how did you get in here? And how did you get in here not having a wedding garment? Now, if the Bible says here that he did not have a wedding garment, what does that imply? What does that imply? No? What's the title for today's sermon? Saying yes to the dress. Now, if this person didn't have on the wedding garment, what does that imply? He said no. He refused. He said no. That's what it means. So now the king is surprised. He says, wait a minute. How did you get in here? But more than that, how did you get in here with no wedding garment? Notice what the Bible says here. And he said, then said the king to the servants, bind this man up, his hand and his feet, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, please, before you jump up in anger and wonder to yourself, now that was such a cruel consequence. That was such a cruel punishment for this king. Now, you got to understand the context here. Now, you see, wedding garments back in the time of Jesus, weddings in the time of Jesus are different from weddings today. You see, if you were living in the time of Jesus, if you were invited to a wedding, the Bible, tradition and culture, and even Ellen White says, if you're invited to a wedding, guess what? Each person that was invited was given a wedding garment, free of charge. It's kind of like saying, look, if I'm going to invite you to my wedding, I'm also going to buy your clothes for you. No charge, free of charge. I'm actually going to give you a wedding garment. Now, here the Bible says that this man had no wedding garment on. What does that imply? If a wedding garment is offered to you free of charge, and you have no wedding garment, what does that imply? It implies, dear friends, that you turned down the offer. You said no. Now, back in the Jewish times, if you turned down the offer of receiving a free wedding garment, now think about it, it's free. The grace of God is free. The salvation of God is free. Heaven is free. Being saved is free. Righteousness is free of charge. And here comes this man, and this is really what he's simply saying. He's simply saying, I ain't you wearing your wedding garment. I'm going to wear my wedding garment. Now, what does it say about the attitude of that person? You know what it says about the attitude of that person? You know, I call him a Burger King Christian. You know what a Burger King Christian is? Have you heard of Burger King Christians? You know, we all know what Burger King is. I'm not talking about the Impossible Whopper Burger King. Okay, the Impossible in the Burger. You know what a Burger King Christian is? You know the mantra of Burger King? You know the mantra of Burger King is simply this. Have it your way. Have it your way. That's the mantra of Burger King. Just have it your way. A Burger King Christian is just like that. It's like coming to God and saying, God, I'm going to do it my way. God is offering you a free wedding garment to this man. And when this man is found without a wedding garment, and by implication, he's simply saying to God, God, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have it my way. And you know, there are so many Christians who will be lost in the end times because the Bible tells us that there is only one way you can be saved into the kingdom of God, and that's God's way. That's God's way. You cannot be saved into the kingdom of God your way. There is no room in heaven for Burger King Christians. It's either God's way or no way. And so by this man not showing up to the wedding garment, he's basically saying, look, I want to get saved my way. Not only that, it also implies something else. It also implies that this man was not appreciative of the salvation of the gift of God. You know, when someone gives you a gift, when someone gives you a shirt and you refuse to wear it, what does that imply? You don't appreciate it. You know, when I married my wife, you know, before I married my wife, I was actually pastoring and working. And so you can ask this of my wife. I'm a pretty simple guy when it comes to dress. I only have two kinds of suits in my wardrobe. I have a black suit, or three. I have a black suit, I have a dark gray suit, or I have a navy blue suit. That's all. And I only have two kinds of shirts. I either preach in a white shirt, or I preach in a baby blue shirt. You will never see me preach in a pink shirt. You will never see me preach in a red shirt. Okay, now, and so when I married my wife, guess what her favorite color was? Pink. And so she noticed this and she said, honey, she went one day, I think it was a Valentine's Day, and she came and I opened up the gift. She says, look, I want you to wear this Sabbath as you're preaching at this church. And I was like, oh, great, it's going to be a nice baby blue shirt. So I opened up the package, and as soon as I saw it, guess what color it was? It was a pink shirt with a pink tie and a pink handkerchief. And then she opened up her dress, and she says, guess what? I've got a matching dress that goes with it. And we're going to wear it this Sabbath, and you're going to preach in it in this Sabbath. Had I turned down the offer to wear that pink shirt, guess what would happen? I'm sleeping on the couch for the rest of my life, you know? You know, there's a saying, you guys may not know it now, but you're probably gonna get to know it later. You know, it goes something, happy wife, happy life. You know, if you just want a happy life, just say yes to your wife, you know? And so I said, I gulped and I said, okay, you know what? That Sabbath, guess what shirt I preached in? A pink shirt. You know, when you wear something, when someone offers you something, especially when it's free, and you wear it, it's a sign of appreciation. But when you refuse to wear it, it's a symbol that you're unappreciative when it comes to the salvation of God. And that's exactly what the Jews experienced when it came to Jesus. They did not appreciate Jesus. And so here the Bible says here that because of that, the king says, bind him up hand and foot and get him out of here. Why? Because I gave him a free choice. The Bible tells us here that the garment here, the dress represents the righteousness of Christ. What does it represent? The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. So the question that we ought to ask ourselves is simply this. Okay, so we know that saying yes to the dress means saying yes to the righteousness of Christ. But how? How can I experience the righteousness of Christ? How can I experience wearing this dress symbolically, metaphorically? I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. What book did I say? Now, I want to show you something in the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, it actually shows you how, in a tangible and a practical way, you can say yes to the dress. Because by the end of tonight, I hope and I pray that each and every one of us could say, yes, I want to wear the righteousness of Christ. But how? Where do you begin? Where does it start? How do you say yes to the dress? Notice what Jesus says here in verse 25, Luke, in the book of Luke chapter 14. It says, and there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come unto me. Now let's stop right here. The Bible says here that Jesus is walking, and behind him is a great multitude, and he turns around, And he says to the multitudes, now let's just suppose that this multitude is Highland Academy. I'm Jesus and I'm walking. I turn around and I say to you guys, hey guys, if any man come unto me. Now he opens up with the word if. Now suppose Jesus says, when any man come unto me, do you think that'll make a difference? What's the difference between if and when? Suppose Jesus says, when any man come after me, but he doesn't. He says, if any man come unto me. What's the difference between if and when? Now, if Jesus had said when, you see, it's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. In other words, if Jesus had said, when any man come after me, you have no choice over the matter. It's just a matter of time. It will happen. But Jesus doesn't say when. The Bible says here, Jesus says, if. Now, the word if implies something. Can anybody guess what it implies? It implies choice. Now, that's step number one. You see, if you want to say yes to the dress, here's step number one. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. In other words, dear friends, look, God will not force that dress upon you. God will not force salvation upon you. You've got to make a choice. You've got to choose for yourself. God, you know, that's the reason why Ellen White says, God cannot do for you that which is left for you to do. In other words, God wants you to choose. If you want to wear the dress, the righteousness of Jesus, you've got to choose. You've got to what? You've got to choose. That's step number one. You see, God is not going to force that wedding dress on you. You've got to choose. You've got to make a choice. Now, let me just define here. I just want to make it very clear what I mean by a choice. Listen very carefully. A choice is making a mental assent to do something and acting upon that mental assent. Did you catch that? A choice is making a mental assent to do something and what? And acting on that mental assent. You see, now this I'm just kind of elaborating what I talked about. Yes, about the proposal. Let me elaborate a little bit. You see, a choice is more than just making a mental assent. A choice is acting on that mental assent. Let me give you an illustration just to be clear. Now, I found out a few nights ago in the boys' dorm, and I just found out tonight that this is true in the girls' dorm, that you guys have a dorm store. Is that true? Yeah? You guys have a dorm store? How many of you appreciate the dorm store? Yeah? How many of you think it's a great thing? How many of you not so? Now, suppose this. Suppose one day you're in your room with your roommate. And by the way, what do they sell in the dorm store? I heard they sell ramen. I purchased a Gatorade the other day. That's pretty cheap. It's only a dollar. I saw someone walk out with three cans of Sprite. What else? I thought I saw mac and cheese. I saw mac and cheese. What else? Yes, all bunch of food snacks. Now suppose you're in your dorm room and you're sitting there with your roommate and you're saying, you know what? I think we're running low in our supplies of ramen noodles and these snacks and these Gatorades. I think when the dorm store opens tonight, and by the way, what time does it open? Now you say to your roommate, and you say, you know what, when the dorm store opens tonight at 7 p.m., I want us to go and refuel all the foods that we're lacking. We're gonna get some Sprite, we wanna get some Gatorade, and we wanna get some ramen noodles. And we're going to get this, and we're going to get that. And you know, tonight we're just going to eat all of these things at once, and we're going to cook this mac and cheese or whatever is at the dorm store. Now you can talk with your roommate about all the foods you want to eat that night. But when 7 o'clock comes, and you remain in your room, where will the food remain? You see, but you can say, well, we're going to have a little bit of this, and we're going to eat a little bit of that, and we're going to drink this, and we're going to drink. And if all you do is just talk and dream of all the things you're going to eat, but if you do not act on it, what's going to happen? The ramen noodles are still going to stay in the dorm store, in the store, and you're going to remain hungry. You see, a choice, dear friends, is making a mental ascent and acting on that mental ascent. If that's clear, can you say amen? Amen? And as I mentioned to you last night, if all we do is just dream and desire of eating all of this great food, you see, that's not Christianity. And so many times our Christian experience ends right there. All we do is just dream and act, and desire of all of these things we're going to do at being a Christian. But if we do not act on it, dear friends, you cannot say yes to the dress. So here, point number one, the Bible tells us, if any man come unto me. In other words, you've got to make a choice to say yes. God is not going to force that upon you. You've got to make a choice. Now let's keep reading here. Notice what the Bible says. If any man come unto me and hate his father and his mother. Notice what the Bible says. If any man come to me. Now choice, number one, you've got to make a choice. Number two, you've got to come to Jesus. Once you've made that choice to say yes to the dress, you've got to come to Jesus. Now here's a question for you tonight. The Bible says we must come to Jesus, but how? How do you come to Jesus? How do you come to Jesus? We've got to make a choice. We've got to act on that mental ascent, but how do you come to Jesus? Here it says, if any man come to me, you've got to come to Jesus. Now, you cannot come to Jesus in your own power. You've got to submit and surrender, and it's the grace and the power of God that moves you. But you've got to come to Jesus, just like how the prodigal son came to the Father. Just like how the prodigal son came to the Father. It was not his own strength, but through the grace and the power of God. Question, how do you come to Jesus? If someone would come up to you and say, how do I come to Jesus? What would you say? How? Yes, you come to Jesus through the Bible, yes. You come to Jesus through prayer, yes. You come to Jesus through church, yes. But there's a verse in the book of Matthew chapter 11. We all know this verse. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 11. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Yes. Now, when Jesus says, I will give you rest, what does that imply? Now, does the Bible say, come unto me, all ye that have their lives tucked away? Is that what the Bible says? Come unto me, all ye that have their lives perfect and in shape and in order. Is that what the Bible says? No, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, dear friends, there's only one way you can come to Jesus, and that's just as you are. That's the only way you can come to Jesus. If you want to say yes to the dress, you've got to come to Jesus just as you are. Now, please listen to this, and I want to end off on this thought. If you think that you must get your life right before you come to Jesus, you will never come to Jesus. You didn't get that, so I'll repeat that one more time. If you think that you've got to get your life right and in order before you come to Jesus, you will never come to Jesus. You see, the Bible says there's only one way you can come to Jesus. Only one way. That's just as you are. There is no other way you can come to Jesus. The moment you think that you've got to be perfect before you come to Jesus, you will never come to Jesus. You will never. Because there is no other way you can come to Jesus but just as you are. I remember one time I was visiting a church member. I had just gotten used to this church, and me and the elder, we went and knocked on his door. And as we were knocking on his door, he comes out, and I introduced myself. I said, hey, my name is Pastor Douglas. This is so-and-so. We noticed that your name is still on the books, and We just wanted to let you know that, you know, we would love for you to come back to church. I mean, we'd love for you to come back to God. I understand you haven't been back to church in 10 years. I'm not sure what happened, but I want to let you know that there's a seat for your church, and we love you, and we just want to accept you just as you are. And I pleaded with this man. I pleaded with him. And I says, why don't you just come back to church? Why don't you just come back to God? I don't know what happened. And so he begins to say, wow, you know, they said this to my wife, and they said that to my children, and I ain't coming back. And I apologize. I says, I sincerely apologize for what happened. I want to let you know, as a new pastor of this church, it won't happen again. Just come back to God. Just come back. We will love you just as you are. And I began pleading with this man. And the more I pled with him, this is what he kept saying. He says, I just got to make things right in my life first before I come to church, and I've got to get my marriage right first. I've got to get my children right first. Then I'll give you a call, and then I'll come back to church. And I pled with this man. I says, look, just come, just as you are. He says, no, I've got to get things right. Well, anyway, long story short, we ended our visitation, and as I was walking out of the door into the vehicle, I turned to my head out, and I says, you know what? This man, he ain't coming back to church. And my head out, I said, what do you mean? He says, he's not coming back. And he says, why? Because the moment you think that you got to get things right before you come back to Jesus, you will never come to Jesus. The Bible says there's only one way. There's only one way you can come to Jesus, and that's just as you are. There's no other way. There is no other way. I wish I could stand here and tell you there's another way you can come to Jesus. There's only one way, just as you are. For every 1 gallon of your sin, God has 50 gallons of grace. And you come to Jesus. Now you may be wondering to yourself, well, Pastor Doug, you don't know me. And like I said last night, I may not know you. You don't know the depths of wickedness I've fallen into. And I may not know, and I don't want to know. But the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. How do I say yes to the dress? I must make a choice. How do I say yes to the righteousness of Christ? I've got to make a mental assent, and by the grace of God, I've got to act on that mental assent. Number two, I've got to come to Jesus just as I am. And the moment I come to Jesus just as I am, at that very moment, God puts on His righteousness over your wretchedness. That's what it means to saying yes to the dress. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to say yes to God's dress. How about you? How many of you want to say, yes, God, I choose to come to you, and I come to you just as I am. Cover me with your dress. Cover me with your righteousness. Is that your prayer tonight? Let's bow heads for a word of prayer. Eternal Father, we want to say yes to the dress. And we're not talking about a $1,000 dress. We're not referring to a $40,000 earthly temporary dress. We're talking about the wedding garment of Jesus, His righteousness. How do we do this, Father? You've outlined in your word by making a choice. It begins by us submitting our willpower to you. We surrender our choice to you. Empower us to come to you just as we are. And so, Father, we pray that you'll cover each and every one of us with that wedding garment, that we be not found wanting on that day. Bless us to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say, amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.